For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's get it, man. You know what time it is. We don't know what we're naming this podcast, so for that, we will name this podcast later. I am one of the hosts, Mr. J. Hill. Drop some air horns and stuff, man. I'm going to put the board right here so I can hit some bombs and stuff. Man. I don't know. But yeah, Alexander the Block is in the building.
I'm in the building.
We are here on this Monday morning recording. You should be listening to this right now, but you know things happen, so you might listen to this in a few hours. That's how quick we're going
to
turn this around.
The
guys is in the building. Let's get to it, man.
Popping your shit. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I just seen somebody on Instagram say, today is the real start of the new year because black people like to start their New Year's on Mondays for some reason and not the middle of the week. So I guess happy black folk New Year to everybody.
Absolutely. Because I don't even know why they make people go back to work on the second if it's in the middle of the week. That's actually disrespectful. Because think about it. You done turned up. You done had a great day, and then you got to go back on a Thursday.
Sheesh.
Have some decorum.
I wouldn't know about that right now.
Look, hey, but you know what?
No, you was
in a
though.
Better space. I was.
I thought a lot of people was off.
Not really. There was a lot of people. I think like one of my homies works for
a lot of because New Year's Day, a lot of things was closed.
New Year's Day, but then on the second, you had to go back.
Okay. Yeah,
they don't care about that.
The second was New Year's was on a Wednesday. Uh-huh. New Year's Day was on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So he had to go back on a Friday?
Thursday and Friday.
No, New Year's was Thursday, right? Because New Year's Eve was Wednesday.
Nah. New Year's Eve was Tuesday, I think.
Sure.
Fact check it.
Let's fact check. You know, we like to fact check.
Fact check. Because, nah, tomorrow's the 7th. Today's the 6th.
Let's check. Fact check. Let me look at the first. First of the month was Wednesday. Yes, it was.
So they had to go back to work Thursday and Friday. That's petty.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, what was your biggest takeaway from
2024? I think my biggest takeaway was, I don't know if this is a takeaway, but it was really that it was, the biggest takeaway was that I can do it.
Okay.
Right? It was showing me that I can get it done. So now, going into the new year, or going into 2025, it's like, now we got to execute, right? Mm-hmm. Now you know you can get it done. Right, I feel like, and I lost my job September 2023. Me and, you know, my lady had at the time went through our separation divorce in April of 2024. It's like, shit, I got fired September 23. I got married legally December 23.
Wow.
Separated April 2024. People like, damn, like that was short, but we was together for a long time. So
yeah,
at that moment, I was going through so much because I didn't know how I was gonna pay my bills. I literally just went to her and like, yo, I'm gonna need help with the bills. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what's going on. But you know, we went throughout what we went through and she ended up you know, leaving. And what I will say is that had nothing to do with like, cause it sounds crazy, but her leaving ain't had nothing to do with me asking for help. Like, we already had our issues. You know what I'm trying to say? We was trying and it just didn't work out. But yeah, so back to what I was saying is, I was scared, bro. Like, in the beginning of the year, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how I was going to make it. Like, I was here, dolo. I had all these bills over my head. And I'm just like, man, I don't know. But
new season. You're stepping into a season of, you've been a stepfather, but now you got your daughter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A newborn.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
I didn't know what was going on, man. And, like, you know, just going towards the end of the year, I was like, wow. Like, I really did everything on my own. I ain't had no help. It was hard, but I can get it done. And then I felt like, so I can get it done, and I knew how to get it done. I knew what I needed to do. So coming into the new year, it was like, okay, all I got to do is execute and over-deliver, right? I think I talked about that. It's like, I know what I got to do to get it done. Now I just got to execute on that and now over-deliver, right? So that's that. What about you? What was your takeaways from 2024?
A lot. But don't want to shy away from what you just said. One thing that I do want to give you your flowers about is the constant evolution that I saw last year. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I saw you step out of being in front of the camera to behind the camera. You know what I mean? Like, and just finding different ways to reinvent yourself from, like, seeing production from all scopes. Yeah. So that's definitely something that I thought was dope. But you really, you know, you often talk about it. You were like, yo, I'm really a nerd for this stuff. But you, to see yourself immersed in it, even from that, from being behind the scenes to vlogging, you know what I'm saying? And I know that you've done vlogs way back when, and people that really don't know, I went back to your channel. Your first video was a vlog, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But seeing you do your content as far as running and everything, but like every aspect of your life is media rooted. Mm-hmm. Like even though your hobbies, like how can I capture this? So definitely want to give you your flowers to evolve through that stage in a place of being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But 2024 for me was a year of persistence, right? Mm-hmm. What I learned was to just keep going. Despite uncertainty, despite what may be going on today, just know as long as you're putting your best foot forward, you'll be in a better place. Mm-hmm. And I feel like 2024 set the foundation for me to be bold and courageous, but then more importantly, step into leadership in 2025. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of, from moving down to Atlanta to being in a space where, you know, I don't really know too many people. I think maybe when I came down here, 3 people. Mm-hmm. But seeing how God really shifted everything that to confirm and affirm that I'm supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, I think moving into this year, it's like, how do you build on the foundation that you know that God has created for you in 2024? So my word for this year, last year was persistence. My word for this year, I think, is peace and then also boldness. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So moving in that peace, but then having the boldness because I know that I'm doing what God is calling me to do in this particular season. So that's what I'm looking forward to in 2025, bro. Like,
yeah,
it's going
to
be dope.
It's funny because, like, I didn't want to bring this up to, like, none of my friends because, like, even, like my brother Marcus, right, morning after, he was just saying, like, 2024 was lit. And then I'd be seeing some of my other friends, line brothers or frat brothers, with their 2024 recap, and it looked, like, astronomical, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, they going to different places, and I'm like, shit, like, my 2024 felt like the opposite almost. Like, it was a struggle. But, like, the last thing you want to do is I don't want to say that's dimming somebody else. Like, you don't want to, like, introduce negativity when somebody is talking about their positivity. And it was like, that'd be tough, though, sometimes. Like, when somebody is not bragging, but talking about, like, their highlights and their ups. Like, yo, bro, it was lit. And you can't relate. It's like,
you just lit. But, you know, yeah. We have highs and lows, and it's a roller coaster. But see, and it's interesting, right? Perspective is everything. Because while you did go through all that you went through, from my perspective, you was lit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But also, I think there's beauty in the, pastor says this often, there's beauty in the breakdown. Mm. So even as there were things that were being deconstructed within your life and, you know, transitional periods that were uncomfortable, I think there was still some beauty in the fact that you know, God led you, obviously, but you were able to overcome those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, facts. Bro, no, it's encouraging.
Right. It is definitely about, it depends on the perspective that you look at it, and that's true. You know, 2024 was definitely tough, like, but on a flip side of it, it was like, man, it showed me that, yo, you can do this, bro. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I'm excited to see what's to come.
Can I ask you a random question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't ask you this yesterday, sister, so.
Okay.
So, you ever been friend-zoned?
I'm pretty sure I have. I think.
You think so?
I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I have.
Mr. J. Hill has been friend-zoned?
Like, it's hard to say, but I shoot my shot so much. Well, I used to shoot my shot so much that, like,
God,
I'm sure
so bad.
Somewhere that, you know what I'm saying? Like, but that's how you get so many points. You know what I'm saying? Like, I shoot so much that I'm pretty sure somewhere, somebody down the line has, like, nah, just be my friend.
Just be friends?
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I think I got friend-zoned last year, the end of last year. I know I did. But
did you get the box first?
Nah. Damn. It was kind of crazy because I wasn't really pressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of in a season with my life where it's cool.
Yeah.
You feel me? But, like, I'm locked in. Like,
yeah,
this is what stimulates my mind in this season of my life. So it's like, it's cool. But I think I had the utmost respect for the way that she did it. You know, like, it wasn't like she wasted my time because we were supposed to go on a date, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, we were having conversations. So I was like, I could pick you up, this, that, and the third. And she was like, you know, I'm just chill. So I was like, okay, like, at first. Mm-hmm. But she sent the text message. She was like, hey, I just want to be straightforward with you. Like, I think I appreciate this friendship and this, that, and the third. And I would rather move forward platonically.
Mm.
So I'm like, yeah, we have messed around in the past. I ain't hinted joining nothing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it was just, like, respectable because she didn't waste my time, one. And more importantly, you know, she could have went out. Everybody talking about the free meals and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. We used all the money up and then sent the and text message. Like, you know what I'm saying? While we sitting at the table. But like for her to be able to have that conversation, it was honest and transparent. So I wasn't even mad about it. But then I can move accordingly now.
Yeah.
But so I was just curious because I feel like a lot of times they have the conversation about men not being able to handle rejection and this, that, and third. And I don't even really see it as rejection because I have the belief of like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You're going to come around, whatever. You know what I mean? So...
Like you said, but, it's all about perspective, though.
Right.
Like, cause like that don't like you like that don't have to be rejection. Like, who said that's rejection? Like,
okay. But like, I wasn't even and to be completely honest, she was somebody. She's very smart. She has her like PhD, young woman too. Like, doing crazy stuff.
So it's not
stuff.
A 35-year-old. This is a young lady. You know what
she
I'm
like
saying?
Close to my age. She like
okay. She yeah, age. Yeah. She educated.
Bro,
that would have hurt a little bit.
You said would have hurt a little bit. it didn't, bro. Because like. At the end of the day, I just kind of know where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And again, got to be called to leadership. And we were talking about sacrifices a bunch of times. And I just feel like that is something that I have to sacrifice in this season of my life because I have to be so selfish on doing the work with everything that I'm called to leadership. In this 100%. Aspect. So let me be intentional. Let me not rush because I felt like only reason why I was in a place where I was like, oh, I do want a relationship and everything was because of FOMO. Everyone around me is getting married. Everybody else, they're having kids and this, that, and the third. So I'm like, dang, am I moving the wrong way? And I've had conversations with people that are very successful in their 40s that don't have any kids or anything. And they've always said to me, like, don't forget don't that aspect it. Of that life.
Oh, don't, oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because now they're in their 40s. They done accomplish everything, but they don't have a family. So how do you find that fine line? But I feel like I'm in a place right now where I need to be level set. Instead of rushing into a rash decision, like with anything in life, that I need to really use my own discernment to see what's best for me.
Yo, you know what's funny, man? Not to like veer off too much from the rundown, but I've been thinking about this recently, and you mentioned it for you is like FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like I'm gonna be 100%. I don't know if a lot of men talk about this, but I feel like a lot of people do want that companionship,
mm-hmm.
and when you don't have it, you feel like yeah, you're missing out on that, right? Not even on the marriage or the kids. It's like, man, you feel like you need to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will say is I definitely felt that a few times last year and even like towards the end of the year. But what I would say that this is why my daughter was one of the biggest blessings I've ever had because my daughter was able to fill that void. And I don't know if that's a positive thing or something that, again, I should probably seek help for, but I know... For now, I use it for my benefit, right? Because in the moments when I do want that companionship, I do want to be with somebody, it's like I don't have the time, one, because of work, right? But two, my daughter fulfills that need for me to be with somebody, to have somebody that love me. Why? Because my daughter loves me. When we're together, you see like how she depends on me, right? And again, like I don't know if it's a man thing, but sometimes you do want to be felt like you like somebody depend on you. Mm-hmm. You do want to feel like, you got somebody that you could take care of. And again, like having my daughter, it fills that void. So I don't have to try to go get that void from another woman. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm trying to say? Like I got a child for that. Like I don't need to take a woman out on a date or go get some food. I can get my kids some clothes. You know what I'm saying? Like she's still at an age where a meal can be a couple outfits. You know what I'm saying?
Or even stay a step further, like doing her hair. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Those little core memories and things of that nature that, you know, we don't publicize, but that's like bonding with your kid. Like that's important, bro.
Yeah. So like that's and you know, damn, I ain't never think I was gonna have this conversation, especially so soon. But you know, it's hard going through like a divorce or separation, bro. Mm-hmm. Like it be times where I miss my family. You know what I'm saying? And what I will say is my daughter, bro, has really helped me not like backpedal. And I don't want to say that in a negative way, but again, I feel like we ran our course. Like, I'm just being straight up. Like, you know, like, and I think we can have a great friendship, but like, I do feel like we ran our course and like, it be times where I miss my family. You know what I'm saying? But when I have my daughter around, it shows me that like, yo, this is more important than any desire that you have to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm trying to say? Even like you said, even if it was to work out further down the line, this is more important right now than the desire to want to have that companionship with somebody because of what? Time? Because you feel like you need them beside you? Because you feel like they can help your life be easier? Nah, this is more important than that. So if that's going to compromise whatever, your living space, if that's going to compromise your mental health, if that's going to compromise how you feel and your happiness, this right here, your daughter, is more important than all of that. Yeah, granted, your happiness is more important than all of that, right? But aside from that, because again, we are selfish individuals. Sometimes, right, we put what we know we want or need to the side for a temporary feeling, right? Like they say,
short-term gratification.
Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say? But when you have something in front of you that look you in your eye and that depends on you, it's like, yeah, you can't put nothing in front of that. And then if you do, then, I mean, that's just, you really need to. You
talk
sick.
About your character. You know what I'm saying? That speaks to your character. At the
when I'll be lying, bro. Every time when I don't have my daughter, I'm like, man, I miss this and that and that. When I get my daughter, it's like, bro, nah, this is more important than all of that.
Man, first of all, thank you for sharing that because that's real. And I don't think you ever shared that. Like, yeah, I know we've had conversations offline about that, but. But that's real and it's very fresh. You know what I mean? So how do you maneuver through the complexities of the day to day? Just one note about family. Crazy enough, they're always going to be your family now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like you share a person, like a creation of a person. So that is something that, you know, will forever be embedded within your story and your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And how you move forward with that, you know, that's going to be determined by, you know, you all in co-parenting and things of that nature, but this is a different stage of your life. But I do think, especially as men, we are often in a place where we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's more common than people would make it out to be.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm somebody that is normally like black and white, but just listening. When you actually listen to lived experiences, you understand there's a lot of gray areas. So how do you maneuver in the gray areas? Because a lot of time, there's no blueprint in those gray areas.
Mm.
When it's black and white, it's clear. But like in those gray areas, it's untamed water or unexplored waters. So how do you move through those places? And that's something that, you know, it's a day-to-day battle.
But, I said this yesterday. I feel like the gray area is where humanity lies, though.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, they want to be so black and white that they forget that it is a human aspect of things. Because if everything was black and white, then we wouldn't need people. We could just use computers and robots. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, okay, if this was to happen, then this happened. Okay, if this don't happen, then this happened. It's like, no, the gray area shows you that we are human and we make mistakes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, yeah, sometimes mistakes can be too costly to make. But also, sometimes we can have grace with each other. Just like, I mean, we talking about it. Like, God has grace with us, right? Imagine mm-hmm. if God was black and white with us. We all would be in hell. We all would be dead somewhere. You
done,
know what I'm saying?
Done.
But no, to be honest, if you want to go deeper than that, we're on this earth because of the gray area, right? Because we sinned in heaven, right? And then because of our sin, honestly, God sent us to the earth. Like, this is really just hell on earth, like, to be real, right? When we die, we're going to the place that we're going to paradise, right? I mean, if you believe in heaven, right? So we're really here because of the sins that was committed before we got here. So when we complain about life, and I ain't mean to get this deep, but when we complain about life and all the things that's wrong, that's going on, it's because really we're not focused on getting to the true kingdom, right?
Right. This is not our home. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is not our home.
It's like we are of the world, but not, you're in the world, but not of it.
Exactly.
And that's really good that you're talking about this, because when you think about, like,
it's like we get complacent. I'm sorry. Like,
nah,
we get complacent with this place that we call home, but it's not. And that's when we get confused and we start to focus on things that we shouldn't be focused on. Because if you know that this isn't your home, you understand that we're here for a sin. So the bad things that happen here is because it was going to happen anyway. A lot of times people go to church and then they get conflicted in their beliefs because things are going wrong on the outside.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, that was going to happen regardless. Don't just go to church and expect things to change because you got God in your life. And if God was real, why he make me going through this? You got to understand that we're here because of our sin anyway. So these things are going to happen and the absence of you knowing God or not. So don't try to use God and manipulate the church as a reason why your life is messed up. Like, mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. I mean,
that's real. And it's crazy because, like, we have these real experiences and people be like, the concept of being mad at God, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like, woe is me. Why is this going wrong in life? And we had a real transparent conversation. Okay. Like, I've been dealing with, I don't know what's going on with my kidney. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that I've been dealing as far as medical. I'm just praying the best of it all. But at the end of the day, I'll never forget, like, there's a pastor by the name of Francis Chan. And he was like, he used like this string analogy. And he was like, here's us. Here's your life. And then he was like, here's eternity.
Mm.
And he was like, what you do here determines this. You know what I'm saying? But we put so much stress on this, and we ignore that aspect of eternity. So when we talk about these things, and but that's why when you talk about greatness, right? We had a conversation about greatness, and a lot of times it's like, I feel like, again, when you feel the discernment in the desire that God has placed on you mm-hmm. to be that level of greatness, if somebody does it, fine. You know what I'm saying? You don't feel called. But what does the best version of you look like here? Mm. And I remember I was reading a book, Can't Hurt Me, by David Goggins. And he used this analogy at the end of his book. And he was like, my biggest fear is that when I stand before God, he has two books. And on one book is, here's the life that you live. And then on the other book is, here's the life that I plan for you to live.
Damn.
And he was like, but then he shows you in the other book all the great things that you are supposed to accomplish, but you got in your own way of not accomplishing all those great things. Mm. And he was like, and honestly, he said, in my mind, that's hell. To see the life that I was supposed to live, but in the life that I chose to live because of my decisions. Yes, there's always going to be things outside of your control. But like when you see it, he was like, that's an aspect of hell. And when he said that, I was like, dang, bro. Mm. Because oftentimes, it's you against you. We talked about this a lot of times. And I don't even know. We done veered off from the rundown. But I feel like this is a real genuine conversation that we need to have more, because you have this much time. We are all on borrowed time.
Bro, I was in church Saturday, right? And my deacon literally just had this conversation. He was like, yo, we're so concerned about what's going on earth that like we deny, like you said, that long string. He used it as a speck. He was like, yo, mm-hmm. you gotta understand, this world, this time is a speck. And he put a dot. He's like, he drew a big circle, right? And he's like, if this is God and eternal life, right, we are, or the world is a speck. So imagine what we are inside of that speck. And it's literally just a dot. And he's like, yo, don't get too caught up in worldly things that you forget that, yo, we're living, but we're trying to have eternal life, right? So imagine if you get caught up in this small little speck, and it's like, man, it's not even worth it. But again, we are human.
We
and,
are.
And like, but that's how, going back to the gray area. It's like, we are human. We all make mistakes, but God is able to forgive us, right? Like, God is able to, they say all we got to do is, not all, but you know, it's other things, but you repent under God and then he forgive you for your sins.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, think about it. We go get baptized and God forgive us for our sins, right? But as people, we can't forgive the next person for the mistake that they made. Now, I'm not saying that everything can be forgivable, but shit, if God can forgive us for committing sins against the Most High, who are we to judge the next man?
I give you one step higher. God will forgive us and we won't even forgive ourselves sometimes. God will forgive us for all the wrongs that we've done, but we find ourselves trapped in the same cycle because we won't forgive ourselves.
100%.
And we can't believe that, like, whatever I committed is too great. Like, you can't forgive this guy. So we create a notion within our minds that whatever I have done is unforgivable. And that often stems from our inability to forgive others. Because if you can't forgive yourself, how are you ever going to forgive somebody else?
If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else?
It always starts within, right?
It always starts within.
So, bruh, I mean, again, we veered off, but I do think this was a good conversation to have, especially setting our expectations going into 2025. Another thing that I thought about as you were talking was talking about perspective and, you know, how do you set insights on 2025 from like a production space with that in mind. We've always talked about like being intentional with this content, being intentional with how do you grow this platform? And again, the mission, for those that don't know, is to show the humanity of everyone. That's the mission of the network overall.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen a lot of your, I mean, I already knew it offline, but like you talking about the human aspect of J Hill.
Mm-hmm.
As you continue to evolve and grow the brand, you've seen, now you're in a space of giving out game and mentorship. How has that transition been kind of for you from being like a player, you're in the game, you're still striving to be the best version of yourself, to now you're coaching?
Yo, honestly, it's easy because I'm doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it makes it easier for me to play the game. I'm gonna explain. Mm-hmm. So in coaching, right, I want to show up as the best version of myself, as the expert as they see me to be, right? So what I do is now what's super important and imperative for me to do is prepare something that I'm not really good at. Mm-hmm. So before my first kickoff meeting, I was working on my deck for like maybe a week. granted, some people might work on that deck for longer than that, but that was a start for me, right? So now, before my next meeting on Wednesday, I'm preparing. I know we talking about this. We talking about finding a niche. All right, I need to find some shows that's very niche-driven. I need to understand what a niche really is. I need to understand if this really works or not. Do I want to take this path? But again, that makes me a better player, right? But also, it's an aspect of... I'm sorry, it's an aspect of... really execution, right? And I talked about that earlier. And what that is, you know, I went to, again, I talk about this conference all the time. Shout out to, this isn't an ad, but it might be an ad. Shout out to David Sands and Donnie when they did the Be a Millionaire in 12 Months, right? And Donnie had said something that really stood out. She was like, a lot of people, like, they're afraid to teach or coach because they're trying to get you from A to Z. When it's like, yo, only thing you need to know is how to get from A to B. And if you get from A to B, you can teach that and people will pay for that. You get what I'm saying? So, like, don't get caught up in trying to teach people from A to Z. Shit, most of us don't have it all figured out. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I think she was like, I might can only teach you how to get from A to K, right? And I'm like, man, so me being a teacher, I'm only can teach what I've done. I've had many clips go viral, right? My clips went viral. They went on Shade Room, all of that. I can teach you how to edit your clips, how I edit my clips. Now, I can't guarantee you that it'll go to the Shade Room, right, but I can teach you that. I can teach you how to edit the clips, how I got to potentially do that, right? I've made $100,000 off my podcast. I might can't give you the work ethic to go get it, but I can tell you what's needed to do it, how I did it, right? It could be multiple ways to do it, but I can teach you. And again, why is this important for me to sum it up? These things are important because it took me time. It took me money. It took me a lot of effort to put in to get to this point. Imagine if I had a teacher or a coach that could tell me what to do. I don't want to say wasted money because a lot of things I still have, but... It took me 3-4 cameras before I knew that I can get a Blackmagic. I'll explain why just for a short point of time, right? At one point in time, I used to have DSLR cameras, right? Those cameras are primarily for taking pictures, right? They have 30-minute timers on there. So I'm like, yo, I didn't know that. And then even before that, I would have 3 different cameras. I want all my stuff to look the same. Why is it not looking the same? Because you have 3 different cameras. They have 3 different color gammas. They have 3 different...
Color sciences and all that, yeah.
Exactly, right? Okay, so I need 3 different... I need 3 of the same cameras. Now I get 3 of the same DSLRs, and if my team can't make it, I'm trying to record by myself, but it's hard because the camera stops at 29 minutes, right? We say 30 minutes, but it really 29...
That, 28, 26.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So now I got to keep stopping. So then I get these monitors to bypass the 30 minutes when all I could have did from the beginning was maybe get let me break it down even more. And this is in a game. This is why you might want to rock with me, but get a Sony A6400. And I'm going to just go back in the day. Why? Because they go longer than 30 minutes, right? Oh, I didn't even know that. Or more importantly than that, get cinematic cameras because they are for recording. You don't, a lot of times these DSLR cameras be so expensive because it's for dual capacity, whatever like that. But I don't take pictures with my camera. So therefore, I might not even need that function. So I got a camera that I'm not even using the max. Yeah. But anyway, these are the things that like I've learned. It took money. It took time. It took mess ups. So if I could eliminate that, right? The goal is to get rich quick so I can stay rich longer, right? Like, that's the goal. So it's if I can eliminate that, I can get to my goal faster so I can stay there longer. So yeah, you should pay for that. So to answer your question, it's like, it's easy for me because I've really been through these things. It ain't something I'm making up. I'm not winging this. I can't teach you how to make $1 million. I can really show you how I made $100,000. You know what I'm trying to say?
Fire. No, that's fire. And then just thinking about that, like a lot of people think it's just showing up and recording. You hit a button, you record, but then the marketing, everything. We're still figuring it out.
We still,
you
know, are figuring it out day to this day.
So I was just kind of curious, what was your biggest takeaway? And what do you see like from people that are trying to, what have you learned from your students about like where people need to improve and things of that nature? I know it's the first week, but just as you gauge like the general consensus, what is something that you feel like you have learned from just the group overall?
I haven't, because it was just a kickoff meeting. Our first official class starts Wednesday, so I don't really know. But I know going in there, man, the thing that stood out to me, I'm like, yo, what's your goals? And everybody's goals was like just to start the podcast. And granted, that was dope for me because I'm like, shit, this is easy for me. Thank you. But at the same time, it's like, why? Like, what was the meme back in the day? Or not like the video, like, you thinking small, bitch. Like, you said, like, I'm like, that's your goal? For real? Nah, we need bigger than that. Because we're going to do that in the next 30 to 60 days. What's up? What's your goal?
What's your why?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, one of my guys was like, man, I'm like, yo, who was your biggest guest? He was like, man, honestly, you. I'm like, me? I'm going to times that by 4. You know what I'm saying? Again, in the first month, I can hit 4 people right now who are bigger than me that want to tell their story. You know what I'm trying to say? So like, yeah, I'm learning.
That's real humble though.
Yeah, but I'm learning that. Also, I'm learning that. I said this yesterday, man. It's about helping people, right? They say the more people you help, the more money you make. And I feel like I unlocked the code. I talk again a lot about my mentor, David Shands, and I'm like, yo, I sit back. I met this man, and I sit back like, yo, how are you making so much money off of podcasting? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I understood he's helping thousands of people make hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. Okay, Jay, you need to help some people. So it really showed me that, yo, okay, now how do I help people further than just doing podcasts, right? But now I know that I can, we talk about over-delivering, right? I get some type of ads, some type of sponsorship sometimes, right? All right, I need all my money. But if you make a small sacrifice to over-deliver, how can that come back tenfold, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I get these sponsors, and again, this is game for my podcasters. We get these sponsors, we do the job, we put the ad in the video, right? That's our job. Cool. Now I'm thinking, like, I got so many podcasts that look up to me. Hypothetically, I did this in my video on Instagram, but I'll break it down even more here. If I get $100, yeah, I need that $100. Mm-hmm. But what's $20 to make my client happier, right? So if I got connections with 5-10 other podcasts, right, I got $20 to spend, I'm making it easy. I don't know, I'll give each podcaster $2. If they ain't make nothing, right, you ain't make no money, I'm giving you $2, right? Just do this and hold it as an ad space, right? And then you can leverage that to give them other ads, right? You can tell them you they spent whatever. But now they making money. So now the podcasters that rock with me are happier. And now when I show my advertisers, they like, oh, wow, you did
across your six platforms.
You
now.
Did your platform and other ones?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Now they want to renew. Instead of me just getting that for the 30 days or 60 days, and now like, all right, bet, thank you, I appreciate it. Now they like, yo, he really over-delivered. So, like, it's a lot of things I'm learning in this season, man. Like, yeah, bro.
Now, that's something that they often talk about, especially, like, at my job, is under-promise and over-deliver. Mm-hmm. Under-promise, over-deliver, especially with clients, because what you start to find out is when you set yourself in that place, they now are not throwing money at you, but they're understanding that, like, okay, this is a place where I can get the most bang for my buck.
Mm-hmm.
So let me invest in this area more, because I know that he may think of something outside of the box that we're not even thinking of. And that puts you in a more favorable position moving down the line. Speaking of brands and content, though, we had a conversation about basically finding the right brands for your platform. Or do you want to talk about the journalism thing first? Because
I was about to ask you that. I was wondering where he was going. I was about to ask you that. But I mean, it's suiting, right? I think, you know, bro, again, man, I don't never want to push my thought process on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand how difficult the path that I'm taking to get to what I deem to be success. And I don't want anybody to follow that path if they're not ready for it, because it's hard. Honestly, I didn't want to take this route.
Can you
I
explain like to I was, people what this route means?
Though? Yeah, I'm going to go to, like, okay. I feel like I was forced in being this disruptor, right? When I say this route of, this independent route of, like, me doing it my way, right? And, you know, I always wanted to, I've always had a job and did hosting. I always had a job and did that, you know what I'm saying? And that's how I always been. Now I'm understanding that I was pushed out of these rose because I didn't belong. I didn't fit in that box that I tried to place myself in. And now it's like, yo, you can do it your way, right? So when we talking about the route that I'm taking, it's really the independent route and the, that's it. That's all I can say is the independent route. And if you want to promote with me, if you want to advertise with me, if you want to partner with me, because I don't need nobody that's want to promote. I don't need nobody that's just trying to advertise. I want partners. If you want to partner with me, then you have to understand the mission that I'm headed, the fight that I'm fighting, right? Like, you understand that I'm not just out here just blabbing off at the mouth, right? There's a purpose for all of this. But I think that goes into it. I don't know exactly. We went into a deeper conversation yesterday. I don't know exactly how
far
we got.
Yeah, no, I mean, it. One thing that you say often is, like, being a disruptor sometimes is hard, right?
Yeah.
Because it puts you at a unfavorable space, because you're saying things that make people uncomfortable mm-hmm. at times. And, you know, we had a conversation about journalism and holding people accountable. Like, you asked the question of, is journalism supposed to be unbiased?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really be unbiased? And is this a space of journalism? And essentially, I would say yes and no. because I look at us as more so commentators, and there are commentators that have journalistic backgrounds and they have things of that nature, but also personalities, right? Mm. So I think as you're giving takes and everything, you are also creating a room for people to give their truth, mm-hmm. especially in the interview space. Because once they're saying it, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's their take, that's their perspective, that's their life, their experience. I think where we find, especially from like a brand standpoint, like complacency or conflict, because you were talking about the homegirl, what's her name, Mandy B?
This came up because I was explaining to Alex and I think another friend that, like, you know, branding is important, especially mm-hmm. when you're trying to get ad revenue. And like Mandy B and Weezy have a show called, formerly known as Horrible Decisions, spelled like whore, W-H-O-R-E. And they would talk about like a bunch of sex stories. Now I think they still talk about sex stories. However, they changed the name to Decisions because of an advertisement play, like to get more potential ad revenue. And a lot of people don't want to be behind something that's like a horrible decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't want my brand to align with that. And again, if that's the route you want to play, that's extremely important. However, that probably wouldn't be as important to me because I want to do it my way. Right. And I think it's important that we talk about these partnerships, though. Like, we had a really great conversation yesterday. So we talked about these partnerships and how you can find somebody that partner with you and align with you. And at the same time, even that, just because you got a partner don't mean you got to agree with everything they do.
Right.
Right. We talked about Rick Ross and my guy, Brett Barish. Right. Brett Barish is the owner of Sovereign Brands. Sovereign Brands is over Bel Air, V-Lone, Bamboo, McQueen. A lot of people think these brands are owned by Rick Ross, McQueen, Wiz Khalifa, Bamboo, Lil Wayne, but no, it's owned by Sovereign Brands, right? And I talk about that when Rick Ross went into his situation when he got caught up and all his brands was backing out from him when he was saying, that you don't even know it song, right? I got Molly on her drink, you ain't even know it. And it's like people be so afraid to be attached to that when it's like, yo, you can still support somebody but not support what they did, right? And we're going to go into more of that, right? But it's like, I'm talking about from the brand to person relationship, right? Yeah. The brand to business, brand to, what would it be?
Advertiser to... Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So it's like, yo, you can even make a statement like, yo, Rick Ross is my partner, bro. But nah, what he said was not cool. But we forgive him and we're going to give him another shot. A lot of times people be so afraid that they're going to lose money that they risk their relationships. And it's like, yo, like, I don't know. I know a lot of people in this world, money is everything, and I get it. I do understand. But it's like, bro, if you got a relationship with somebody, you build with somebody, you know that's not who they are, why not stand beside them? And that's why when I've seen that to this day, it's like, I respect that dude. Now, again.
He was wrong. We're not advocating.
He was wrong. Yeah. And it's okay to hold somebody accountable. It's like, we friends. We can hold each other accountable. Like, yo, nah, you was wrong. You still my dog, right? But again, it is levels to it, depending on what you do, right? Like, because if you go too far to the left, it's like, you might can't come back right with me. But again, I do respect that, but also as another level of money too, because it's like, yo, who knows? Again, I'm not saying this is him. I'm not saying I don't know that man like that, but he could have stayed because he know he gonna bring him more money. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I know he had a chance to walk away and he didn't. And I think that's dope. And I think we need to see more relationships like that.
Yeah, I mean, and on the flip side, right? You're talking about somebody that's supporting and where there's like a space to be different or to disagree. $1 million worth of game. Mm-hmm. You know, Barstool Sports, they're on Barstool Sports. They have a deal with them and everything in that capacity. And then Barstool's owner has said something that they didn't agree about. Mm-hmm. And they publicly on their platform said the name, but it still didn't sever the ties or anything in that capacity. Why? Because it's free speech at the end of the day, right? So if you're saying giving a take, that also opens the room for us to give an opinion mm-hmm. on whatever you're saying. So like that shouldn't have to do anything with the business as long as I'm still delivering on the numbers. I may not agree with you, you know, and personal beliefs a lot of times, and that's why I think it's a lot of things become personal. We be saying it, business is business, but nah, bro, it be personal.
Yeah.
And you start to see that with the decisions that people make as far as like who they're working with and this, that, and the third.
But you know who has a big part to play in that though, unfortunately, and the brands really, that's why the brands probably have to walk away because the consumers. Because think about it. If a consumer don't agree with you dissing LGBT or you dissing, what's the big thing, the like Jews and stuff like that, right? If they don't agree with that and they pull their money back, then you go out of business. So I understand it from one perspective. We talk about the gray area, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I say it is some type of gray area. So it's like, Okay.
We'll clarify that. Jewish people.
Oh, we're Jewish people. Yeah, okay, my bad. Yeah. I mean, I'm still, I don't mean no harm.
Be, yeah.
But then again, it'd be something that might take it personally. Like, bro, come
go
on,
clear that
bro.
Up.
Like, I don't even know no better. Like, it wasn't even that. Like, I clearly ain't disciplined.
Right.
But anyway, but little things like that is important. And I'm glad that happened so people can see it in real time.
Yeah.
But it'd be like the consumers, just like with the artists. A lot of times it'd be the fans that get into the artist's head. The fans is on under the comments saying, oh, this person dissing, if you put this together, da, da, da. Now the artist is like, oh, really? Now I ain't even peeping like that whole time. It wasn't even like that, right? The same with the consumers in the business, right? It's like consumers would be like, man, I ain't shopping with them, da-da-da-da-da-da. So the consumers, like, they so scared to lose money. It's like, nah, we got to cut all ties. And they'd be like, man.
I mean, it kind of just goes to the conversation that we had with Pinky, right? Where she's like, I work in a customer service. I'm in the people business, people-pleasing business. Mm-hmm. But that aspect of the customer is always right is something that has been passed down for generation to generation. And the people at the top don't care so much because they're going to be rich regardless. Mm. So they will sever ties with anybody and go put somebody else in their place because it's like, you would be blessed for me to give this money. I'll make another one. You know what I'm saying? They're thinking the aspect of a machine. And that creates this kind of, you know, this aspect of just that you are disposable. Mm. So a lot of people try to get as much. That's why you have some people that will try to get as much out of these brands as possible, because it's not, I could have the best standing relationship with you, but it's always, what are you doing for me right now?
What have you done for me lately? For
yeah,
sure.
What have you done for me right now? And you, again, I've seen it with Adidas, and like billions of dollars. But the minute he said, and I'm not, again, no justification to what he did, but in that moment, mm-hmm. you didn't apologize, even though you've made us billions of dollars, we're done.
Yeah.
And we'll find somebody else. So we have seen that there's implications of, you have to be strategic when it comes to content. You have to be intentional as far as like brand deals and things of that nature for that reason.
But I was going to say that, I'm glad you brought up the Kanye thing, because that's a perfect example, right? What if it was a world where we created truly from who we are, and because we wanted to do it, that we found a group of people who thought just like us, right? And I think Kanye is a perfect example, because Kanye West can drop Yeezys right now off KanyeWest.com.
Yeah, he did.
And his people is going to go get it. Now, again, he did do that, right? And he dropped the ball as far as quality, to be honest. I mean, I ain't getting them, but I've heard like the quality just wasn't there. So he dropped that ball. But he could have very much so took his time, right? Made a really good product, dropped it, and we still would have supported him. Mm-hmm. So I say that to the Pinky conversation. It's like the people-pleasing business. It's like, am I? Because if I just do with my heart, it's a group of people who can support me and I can survive from, right? And I can say whatever I want about whoever, not as long as I'm not being disrespectful. But if I don't agree with X, Y, and Z, I can say that. And people will understand that. So for the people that don't understand that, maybe y'all just don't belong here. Because we can go on and on about so many other brands, Tommy Hilfiger, shit, even Michael Jordan, so many other brands that say, I don't make it for y'all to wear, but we still wear it.
Balenciaga, Gucci, y'all like, you know the saying? Designer.
So
Parade. We find validation in brands that don't even see us.
Are we in the people business, or are we in the, are we? That's all I'm saying. Because it's like, it seems like we only do that when it's really convenient. Because it's brands out there that I see that is working, and they clearly be doing whatever they want, say whatever. And we get Gucci putting fucking monkeys and shit on websites, and we still buying Gucci.
It was like, what, they had a new server at one point, like,
what
or something
y'all
crazy.
Doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, we had so many. And it's subtle, right? I mean, it's not even subtle. It's in our face.
It's blatant. Not like, subtle. It's the opposite. Like, yeah. It's in your face. Like, look, monkey, nigger. Right, there, like, you go. Like,
the hardy arms. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, so, like, what are we in the people-pleasing business? Because clearly these niggas ain't pleasing us, and we still supporting them.
But that's because, bro, that's strategic. That's actually strategic. And I'm not trying to veer too far off the conversation that we're having when you talk about marketing and things of that nature. But there's literally a video that you can go on YouTube today that's called, like, The Art of Selling to the Negro. So when you have that strategic, this came from the Department of Commerce in Jet Magazine and back in the 1950s, and they were basically saying that, like, the Negro, quote unquote, seeks validation. They seek recognition. Don't make them feel like they can't afford something. Like, so this is conditioned. Like, we are classically conditioned. So people know how to target and market our community. And, you know, not to get into the conversation too much about the black dollar, but I think the study back then, I don't know if it's changed, but it was like the black dollar stays within our community for 6 hours. Mm. And then when you look at, like, the Jewish community, it's 2 weeks before it's spent at another institution. Wow. So think about how many people within their community touch that money, and it done is now created an economy within itself before they spend it with somebody else. If we even had 1 week of that money staying within our community, how many businesses would we be able to leverage now? Because we have income constantly flowing through our economies.
I wanted to ask you, right, because we started to get into that. But I do want to have that conversation because I feel like you was in your bag, right? So it started with me talking about, there's a guy named Rob Markman, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I say that for so many reasons because it's strategic or whatever. And this guy is like, in my mind, is like the true definition of a journalist.
Okay.
Right? I see his clips on Instagram. I don't really watch it on YouTube because it's not for me, right? Mm-hmm. Just, to me, it's boring as hell, right? But when I think of a journalist, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, he's super unbiased, right? Sometimes he gives his opinion a little bit because I don't want to, like, throw no, like, shade on him or nothing. Like, he gives, like, his opinion sometimes, but rarely because he's coming from an unbiased standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the comments. And, oh, yeah, and why I support the movement is because I think he was, like, an intern or something at Hot 97, some radio station in New York, right? So you see the growth. You see the he came from like the bottom to having his own platform and really doing something, right? And you see the comments like, man.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Just bigging them up. But I say all this to say that shit ain't for me, right? I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, this is boring. Like, what? This is monotone. It's like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, that, like again, without being hating, right? My opinion and my take on it. So when I see it, I'm like, damn, to be a journalist, do I have to be like this? Like, I want to be biased. I want y'all to know my opinion. I don't care about yes, if Drake is going at it with Kendrick Lamar, I'm going to say Kendrick Lamar is trash because I don't like him. I got to break down and give you all these stats to tell you why he's trash. Bro, I don't like the nigga. I want to be able to have fun with it. I want to be able to like, yo, nah, Drake is better because he sound better than his lyrics. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe if that's what journalism is, I don't want to be a journalist. And I was asking, like, is this what I do, what we could consider as journalism?
This? There's journalistic elements, but when we talk about journalism in its truest form, it is like what a Rob Markman does. Okay. It's like we're supposed to be unbiased. We're supposed to be.
Right.
But we have seen the evolution of journalism because of capitalism. Mm. And what was supposed to be the fourth estate and coming from a place of integrity and uphold an unbiased opinion that is straight facts.
Okay.
Journalism is supposed to be black and white.
Okay.
Talk about inverted pyramid style. Who, what, when, where, how. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just straight up. That is what journalism is supposed to be. Now, what you have found is that the Rupert Murdochs of the world who own Fox News, and I'm not entirely sure who owns like the NBCs and things of that nature, because of consumer influence, because of political influence and things of that nature, lobbying, you have seen it gear towards more biased media. Mm-hmm. You have seen a conservative effort more so on a Fox News or a more progressive effort on MSNBC. I'm using them too, or some will say CNN is progressive, things of that nature. Now, as journalists, we are always taught these key things. One, you're never supposed to be the news.
Okay.
So, like, we're never supposed to be the news. But then also,
it's not about you, nigga.
Nah, you're supposed to report the facts, and the facts are the facts. Now, here's a space that I think that people get confused because there's a lot of commentators. There's a lot of people that have, there's obviously, like, First Take and things of that nature. They commentate, mm-hmm. but they are also sports journalists.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
they commentate from a factual perspective.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Now,
and that's what I was going to say. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But I feel like we are in a space where, yes, we have journalistic elements, but it's more so personalities.
Mm.
You know, I done worked this space. I done been in local news. So I understand the journalistic integrity. So I have to move in accordance to that because it's dangerous, right?
Mm.
If we don't report from a place of fact, today is January 6th. what happens when you don't say facts and you are leading people to lie? You can have people storming into capitals. That's why it's like, as a journalist, yes, you have to uphold. We were considered the quote-unquote unintentionally fourth estate. We're supposed to be holding the powers that be accountable on the facts, but we have allowed people to get in our pockets, and now it's like, you funding a little bit of money in there, so I'll look the other way. What happened to journalistic integrity? I'm not saying that there's some beast out there that's really doing it, that's really doing the work, but you don't hear about it because it's not as flavorful. But there's also an interesting space now that has evolved in infotainment. Why? Media is supposed to be twofold, entertainment or information. Now you have this middle line where it's infotainment. So yes, we are giving you the information, but we're putting an entertainment spin to it because we understand that now the average consumer, their attention span is a little different. So they're not going to engage with the content if it's just a newspaper. It's just black and white. I'm not even reading it 9 times out of 10. So how can I get this information to you where it pops, but now you're still getting the information that is necessary? And especially as black people, going back to the conversation that we had about consumers and everything, Roland Marwood says this to us. You can't be black out on media and be scared because we fought for this. And I have this pulled up right now. It was what? March 16th, 1827, the Freedom Journal came out, which is one of the first ever black-owned publications. And our exact words was, "We wish to plead our own cause because too long others have spoken for us." So now we have a place now. Anybody can buy a mic. Anybody can get a YouTube channel. Anybody can create this stuff because back then, we would die for speaking our piece.
Yeah.
Back then, we were oppressed. Back then, they would call us crazy. But now we have platforms. And like you said, you don't need to bow down to a Fox News or try to get a job with the MSNBC or whatever platforms, because now I can go get my own equipment and pop my shit. Now, here's the fine line about that, though. Use it strategically. You know what I'm saying? What are you adding to the culture? What are you doing for your people? And if it is just to make money, hey, man, that's more power to you. And you see a lot of people in that space.
But that's, again, we having the same conversation. That's the power. That's the price of freedom, though, right?
Right.
We're talking about freedom of speech, freedom of the ability to do whatever you want, right? So many people are free to do what they want that you're going to see the other aspect of it, right? And even going back to the journalism, I guess, when I see it, maybe, because I do love journalism, when I look at, like, Shannon Sharp, right? Outside of what we know him to be lately, as far as Club Shay Shay, he's a great journalist. Like, he worked his ass off to get information, to know what he's doing. And I think that's amazing. Why? Because he has an entertainment piece to him. He always going to say some witty, dope catchphrase, or, you know what I'm saying, like something that his mom told him or something like that. I love that. Again, and it's not no knock to him, because I'm saying his name on the platform so you can check him out if you don't. But when I look at somebody like a Rob Markman, it's like, I don't, like, that's boring. Like, just sitting there and just talking about, like, I don't care for that. But but honestly, right, you know what's funny? Because this kind of fast-forwards us when we talk about getting into the shits of, like, our trending topics, right? And we talk about the Steve Stout conversation of talent versus
talent versus fame.
Fame. And it is a talent to be able to be not as, not structured, but polished as a true journalist, but still be able to get a good amount of eyes. Now, people might not like it, right? We talked about how comparing, like, a Sexy Red to Rhapsody, right? Rhapsody is a lyricist to the core, right? But, like, not everybody want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Respectfully, right? Like, even Kendrick Lamar and Drake, I don't want to hear that shit all the time. Like, yeah, I know it's fucked up in the world, and, bro, I want to have fun, right? Same thing with a Sexy Red. It's like, yo, Sexy Red gonna make some shit that's like, that's gonna make you wanna have fun.
Yeah.
Right? Same with the journalism. Like, yeah, I feel like we can have a medium where it's true journalism, it's coming from facts, but also entertainment. And a lot of times, not a lot, sometimes entertainment can be facetious, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, I don't know if I'm saying the right word, but, like, it'd be like just,
it'd be toxic.
Joking. Like, it could just be, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it could be, it could be a place where, like I said, infotainment.
Yeah.
You know, it can be entertaining. And I think a lot of times we feel like it has to be. But you have examples of this. Mm. You look at the Stephen A. Smiths.
Yeah.
But you also see now they're venturing out. They're venturing out to create their own platforms and things of that nature so they can have their own voice that's not what, again, marginalized by the powers that be, and I'm not trying to be no conspiracy theorist or things of that nature, but your voice can be minimalized based on the bottom line or what the media or company that you're working for is trying to push forward.
I want to ask you this, though. Is it still integrity, though, if you're deliberately fighting for the other side, right? So, for example, like when I see ESPN, First Take, I'm pretty sure some of those arguments they agree on. But because you know the facts, I can fight for the other side. So when we talk about journalism and facts and things like that, like if you don't truly believe this, but you can fight for devil's advocate for sake of entertainment, right? Is that still journalism? Do we still discredit them?
I don't necessarily say if it's fact-based.
Yeah, like far as sports, right? If I think, if in my heart, I know the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. I don't know, right? And I got the facts to prove it, right? But I know you're going to fight for them to go to the Super Bowl. So to, in order for people to tune in, I have to fight for the other side. But I can because of the facts. Is that still integrity? Because if I don't believe that, though? Because I'm pretty sure in some of them arguments, they don't be believing their takes, but they can fight for it because of their knowledge of the game.
But that's why I don't think it's journalism. It's a commentator. You know what I'm saying? That's commenting.
But do because we take away from them because of that, though?
Not necessarily.
Because they still have facts.
They have political, again, I mean, not political. They have journalistic aspects to it. Okay. But I'm saying I don't think that we put that in the box of solely journalism. It's a take. It's an opinion based on the facts that you are provided. But there's still no clear guarantee. Like, when we say facts, it's like this happened.
Yeah.
This is all the information that is presented. And yes, new developments may come out at a later time and we can update it. But at this time, this is what it is, black and white. Now, when you're talking about takes and opinions, I can, based on facts, Saquon Barkley had 100 yards the last three games. I can estimate that he's going to have 100 yards this game. That is based on facts, but it doesn't guarantee that my take is valid because I'm not a fortune teller.
Yeah.
So when they're giving their takes, yes, they're using statistics and things of that nature to make the most justifiable decision and take so that you can see that they've done their homework. But again, there's still that aspect of, we don't know what's going to happen.
Mm.
So when you're talking about it in that realm, and then even when you do see things and they're doing recaps, again, now you have the numbers. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You're giving your perspective on how somebody performed based on where they are right now. A lot of times it's like, what are you doing for me right now? Mm-hmm. You've seen somebody go through a slump, but you know that they had this. So are they done? So now I'm using all of the information that I've compiled to really have this conversation, which moves the needle for it. Don't get it twisted, though. There are some people that have horrible takes sometimes. Horrible takes. And I'm going to shout out my dog, Kellerman, because bottom of the fourth, game on the line, give me Iguodala. It's still the craziest take that I've ever heard. But he's an amazing commentator. But again, you see him in the boxing world, he goes crazy. Yeah. But he was in a place with Stephen A. I'm not taking away. Again, he's a super smart journalist, amazing person. But some of his takes be crazy.
I think, I ain't gonna lie, I think he one of the
top five, bro.
He really liked
it. He was cold.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
But like when it comes to boxing for real, that's his niche. Oh, I mean, wow. He can talk about everything else, but boxing, listen to him talk about boxing. Listen to, again, you can see certain people in their ass. You talk about Woj, retired now. Talking about NBA, you talk about Adam Scheffler. When it comes to the NFL, like they know it to a beat.
Yeah.
But then now they're reporting facts. Why? Because they have inside information. They are talking to the agents. They're talking to this. So you're getting that and you're pushing that forward. It's not more so commentating. I'm actually talking to the agents.
I ain't gonna lie to you. And when you do your job at a high level like that, it's super attractive. I was, you know who was a really good journalist, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Lauren LaRosa. That's her name. I was trying to figure it out yesterday. They were on a Breakfast Club.
Okay.
If you ever see this, down the line.
Let's get to the shit, man.
Now, shout out to there's some really dope journalists out there like her. Shout out to Nyla.
Speedy's killing the game right now. Hip hop journalist. I think he commentates complex. I'm telling you, he's killing the game right now.
No, he's killing the game for sure. I'm just thinking like,
is he a personality?
No, journalist. Like what?
Oh, he's definitely a journalist. He went to Syracuse, Florida, and everything, bro.
Oh shit.
Like, yeah, like he's.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
He's good at what he do though. I think he's really good at what he do. But let's get into it, man. Let's have some fun.
Well, you kind of already touched on this topic a little bit, but Steve Stout came out and basically was talking about talent versus fame. And he said, essentially, back in the day, you had to be talented to become famous. But he said that now, he used it as an analogy. He said that fame is at a place where fame is said to talent, I no longer need you. And you have a lot of people that are becoming famous without actually having a talent. So I was just kind of curious to hear your take. You were alluding to it a little bit, but what is your thought process, what he had to say?
I think Steve Stout was wrong, only because, like, bro, you living in yesterday, talking about yesterday, that it was a time where you needed talent to be famous, right? I'm gonna be real with you. Today, you need everything. You need both. It ain't no one, you need the fame without talent. No, you need both. You gotta have some type of talent, because who are we to look at somebody and say that's not talent, right? When we look at somebody like again, I'm gonna just go with a Sexy Red, because that's somebody, one of the artists more recently that people have been like, what did she do? She's not even talented. But no, to be able to be regular, right, in the eyes of the popular,
the masses, yeah.
The masses, to be regular in the eyes of masses, but to still stand out amongst other people that's regular, that's a talent. So who are we to say that that's not a talent? Now, and to have the marketability to monetize that and then get famous, that's a talent in itself. Mm. It wasn't like, think about it, because we could argue that back in the day, it was easier. We could argue that back in the day, it would be, like music reps that I think Mary J. Blige talks about it, right? Like that come to your house when they know you can sing and then sign you. It ain't that easy nowadays. Like, you gotta work for this. You gotta show a little more than just that little ability to sing. It's millions of people around the world that's super talented, that's gifted, like we said, and ain't got shit to show for it, right? So it has to be a talent. So when you say like now it's like fame took over, or like just idiotic, I don't even know the word, like idiocracy or whatever, that's taking over, because it ain't really the fame, it's what you do to get famous, right? We got so many people out here that use their mental illnesses or just use their disadvantages to their advantage to get famous. And again, who are we to say that's not a talent? Because clearly you were able to see something in your situation to market that and monetize that when there's so many other people in the same situation as you.
Let me ask you a question though. Talk about talent versus fame.
Mm-hmm.
You look at an IG model.
Mm-hmm.
IG model.
Yeah.
Are they talented? You look at somebody, they have millions of followers. We know a few.
Yes. I gotta say yes, only because think about even like, man, I'm dropping names, man. It's my show. I might not drop a name, but I'm gonna drop, and if you know me, you know. It was a girl we used to work with, right?
Exactly. And my point.
Let's go there though. And I used to think like, yo, what the hell? And she, to me, she was super talented, right? She could talk about sports like more at a level, sports and music at a level that I wasn't able to see most people, right? But she wasn't known for that. She's not known for that. If you don't know her, you wouldn't even know that, right? But every time I seen her, she was like, what a different celebrity, right? It's so many women, and again, I'm not agreeing with this, right? But think about it. It's so many women out there who look up to that as that's their ceiling. Like, that's what they aim to be. Again, I'm not saying that's okay. You might be slow or you might have mental illness. I'm just saying, what you strive to do, you might have a mental illness. However, think about it. It's so many women out there who are gold diggers, right? Who do wish they prey on men, right? But they never get their shot. And again, I'm not saying this is okay.
Right.
To be able to finesse what you got going on in your little life where you're nobody, to get these type of men over and over and over, it got to be a skill to that. Because if it wasn't, every woman out here would be doing it. And they can't. Niggas are smart, one, right? So for you to...
No, it's some dumb niggas out here.
It's some dumb niggas. Some dumb niggas. Think about it. For you to get in a place, to be able to get next to somebody of stature or of fame or whatever, high criteria, to get in that space when you're a nobody, to get next to him, to be able to conversate with him, to get him to believe whatever lie you're telling, to manipulate his stupidness, it got to be some type of talent to that.
You know, I forgot what his name was. I think it was Ryan Williams or a comedian or somebody that said this. And this is going to sound bad, but he was like, you don't have a talent, I have a problem. You don't have a talent, I have a problem, bro. And I just like, off no hating, because obviously, bro, you take it. Now, let me tell you where
it's
the talent.
I'm hating, I don't care.
Let me tell you where it's the talent.
I'm hating.
To be able to maintain yourself, that's talent. You know what I'm saying? That's disciplined. You know what I'm saying? That's something that means that you're willing to go as far as maintaining the look that you're going. I'll give you that. But like, is it talent when you're just showing what God has given you? You know what I'm saying? Is it talent when
But a lot of times they're not showing what God has given them. They go create it.
A lot of times,
yeah, a lot of times they're not showing what God has given them. They got makeup on. God provided the makeup for the world, of course, I guess, whatever. But mm-hmm. Or God provided the person who created makeup, however you want to look at it. So it ain't like they're doing this at their rawest of forms. They go and get their body done, right? They get putting up makeup. They getting all these fashion overhauls or whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? And they're adding sauce to it. So it's like, but again, everybody and every woman in the world have the opportunity to do that. Now you're going to weed out some, you're going maybe 40, 50% of women or 60, maybe, I don't know what the numbers, that's not going to do that because they don't want to do that, right? So even still, you still have a group of women who want to do it and all of those women aren't doing it. So do I think is crazy? But again, I'm a person who understands the duality of being a human. I don't agree with it. I think you have a mental illness. But when I look at it, I'm like, yo, think about, again, going back to that girl. She's had serious or a public relationship with at least one, let's say, rapper. That he posted on everything. And I'm like, yo, this shows you that whatever you want to do, you can do it. It's women out there who aim to do that. And I'm like, as sad as it is to me, who am I to judge, though? As sad as it is to me, it shows that...
Who am I to judge? It's facts, yeah.
But it shows that it's attainable because clearly we've been knowing her to have that mentality as long as I've known her, right?
Yeah.
But guess what? It worked to her capacity.
Subjective.
Well, yeah, subjective. I'm just saying. But or the girl that goes out and get a 22-year-old and get pregnant. It worked to her capacity, right?
But is that a talent, though? That's a talent?
So, again... Is it, as sad as this conversation is right now, as sad as this conversation is, I'm willing to bet there's women out there who want to be able to be in that position that can't get there. As sad as that is. And if it's more than a few who want to get there that can't, and you get there, it's some type of talent there.
I feel like if you flip it, right? Let's talk about men on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's like the hustler. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like the person that's out here posting, like grinding every day, this, that, and third. That's not necessarily a talent. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like they're showing, they're hustling out here, working multiple jobs, this, that, and third. But like you said, there are certain people that do it and they make hundreds of thousands of millions and you try to replicate the same thing and
nothing.
You make a penny. You know right. what I'm saying? If that. So I do understand it from that aspect. And we talked about like the Rhapsodies versus the Sexy Reds and you were basically saying that like, okay, you have Rhapsody bar for bar, nobody, well, I'm not going to say nobody's touching her, but a lot of people ain't touching her bar for bar. Mm-hmm. But as far as marketing and a complete product, but I do think as I thought about it, that does have something to do with talent because you still have to be able to market it. That's half, the bars is half the battle. So when you talk about an artist in its complete form, yes, Sexy may not have the talent lyrically, but as far as the presentation, okay, she still has the ability to present it. We talk about Beyonce and all the other people. Beyonce doesn't write all of her music. No. We know that. This is fact.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. But her ability to perform, her ability to produce quality content, but then she has the insight to understand all other aspects of it. Yes, I may not write every line, but how do I deliver this?
But even the talent to be able to, but sometimes, and this is what you brought up, sometimes talent can be acquired over time, yeah. right? Because I think sometimes I was getting confused with talent versus naturally gifted,
yeah.
right? So like when you talk about it, like Beyonce was able to be in a position where she could acquire talent from her father, right? We talk about artist development. We talk about how they put things in place for her to now know and be able to move forward and do something. So when we talk about she don't write her we hear comparisons of like who's the most talented, Beyonce or Chris Brown, right? That's a conversation that we probably can't have. They're both talented in their own capacity. Because think about it. Yeah, Beyonce don't write her own songs or not all of her own songs, but she has to put a team in place, if not herself, to be able to choose the right song, right? Choose the song that she can perform the best at, right? That's a talent. That's a skill. You might have acquired that, but think about the people who pick songs every day and they, again, it don't hit, right? She's able to put shows together, get a team to put shows together to perform, to be able to work out, to stay dedicated, to stay disciplined. That's a talent in that.
You know, I just thought of something. He might be full of shit.
Who?
I'm gonna tell you why.
Who?
Steve Stout.
Why you say that?
Because I just thought about it. The reason why we don't see people striving for talent is because them.
Y'all niggas are signing them
y'all
motherfuckers.
Y'all are rewarding the mediocre people.
I just really thought about it.
I was like, wait a minute. The reason why you see that, the reason why you see people not striving, they're doing what is, because I think Roddy Rebel talked about it in one of the episodes. He's like, bro, I can really pop my shit and really write something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can really write something that would have you thinking like, oh, damn, this nigga really said that. But at the end of the day, it's like, I know that this is what they want.
And you know why they do that? Capitalism.
Yeah.
Money.
They feed the machine, bro.
Right, so it's like, yo, what do you, first of all, for you to say that, show me somebody.
That's kind of threw me.
Is he still Def Jam?
I think it's UMG. I think he's, let me.
Because I'm about to say, if we can go through a list, because I want to be a journalist now. Like, show me somebody that you recently signed that was super talented and that's doing big things. You put a lot of money behind him. Okay, I don't know, because I don't find this shit that much, right? But show me somebody.
Let me see.
Oh, I think he's Big X the Plug.
He might be.
I think so.
So he's founded United Masters.
I like Big X the Plug. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, he's somebody that's talented.
Yeah, yeah. So
he's lyrically in this, that, and
but again, you still right. Like, it's y'all. It might not be you specifically, but y'all are the ones that did this shit. Y'all get the people that's going to make you the most money. Right? So, but whatever, man. I think when it comes to it, in this day and age, you need both, though. Because you show me somebody that's super talented and he can't keep me entertained, I don't care.
So he has... Let me see. Apparently, he's helped advance recently on under United Masters artists like NLE Choppa, Big X the Plug, Brent Faiyaz, Anicia, and others.
I mean, they sound like some talented individuals. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Those are some talented people.
Yeah, like.
But we have to ask the question: is like
NLE Choppa probably one of the ones that understood both? NLE Choppa can rap his ass off, but he's going to entertain the hell out you. He's going to do some weird shit too. He's going all that weird shit he talking about, like, I don't know. All that freaky shit he be talking about. Like, but again, he understood how to crack the code. So you need both. It ain't just one-sided now. It's harder.
Nah, that's real, bro. That's real.
Yeah.
So talent still is getting rewarded in some aspects.
And think about it, though, even back to the IG models, bro. It's a skill, commitment, or whatever. I've seen some girls completely just focused on, I got to take this picture. I got to do this right angle. I don't agree with it. I don't care for it. It's stupid to me. However, every girl can't stay disciplined enough to be able to take a picture every day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's girls that they take 10 hundreds of pictures a week. They really focused on this and dedicated to doing that. We might not agree to it and think it's stupid, but think about the angles that they choose. The stupid little showing their ass and like, look, it's dumb to us. But think about it. It gets some people attention and they do it for a reason. I don't have to agree with it to look at it and respect it.
I mean, like you said, I mean, it could be, and as we're having a conversation, that's why I love this space, is because we evolve our thoughts in real time, and you get to see that. Because as you just said that, I asked myself, because the term is like an IG or like primarily Instagram model, right? Mm-hmm. But when you look at the aspect of a model,
they had to do some work.
Right? Back in the day, they had to walk. They had to be able to fit the look and this, that, and the third, to be able to pose. Mm-hmm. Those things, I think, we're kind of removed from because it's just different. It's evolved.
Yeah, like, even like, but I think, I mean, it's people that is not talented in certain situations, but their talent got them there. Right? You look at somebody like a Young Miami, right? We all, people be hating on our podcast. But Young Miami had to be able to put herself in a, position herself in a place where people wanted to hear her talk.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we might look at Carisha Please as that's not a real talent during the podcast itself. Somebody placed you there, whatever. However, you had to become Carisha for us to care about, right? Think about how many people are having these salacious stories. Still ain't getting no views, right? They trying to go viral and ain't doing it. Well, you have a Carisha, whereas though, yeah, we could say somebody placed somebody on her couch, right? Did he, like, they really gave you that position. But again, we got to look at it like, she was able to build herself up enough to be in that position.
But then also, it's just like to have the insight to want to do it.
Yeah, but then to also continue to do it. Think about it. Like, because I used to always be a hater of, like, the Rap Return podcaster, right? Because think about it. Like, they was rapping. But one, they worked their ass off to be in a position where they can create a platform for people to care. We just saw, I don't know if you've seen this, but Elliot Wilson talk about Cam and Mace and their show not being good and, like, them just being able to use their rap career to be...
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, right, I understand what he's saying, first of all, but, like, second, you shouldn't be saying this because, like, Elliot, you killing your reputation at this point. Like, you just sound like the old hater. But anyway, you got to understand, so many people who tried podcasting and failed. You think about, shit, T.I. is one of them, right? T.I. had a pretty dope podcast, honestly, some would say. Had interviews with Tyler Perry, like, expeditiously. He stopped. Right? So it ain't like that every rapper that tried podcast was successful. Succeed, yeah. So we can't sit up here and say that.
I mean, shit. Artists, I mean, athlete turn, you know what I'm saying?
It happens. So we can't sit up here and say that that's not a talent because, again, people who has tried podcasts and it failed tremendously. Her shit is lit, even though she ain't talking about nothing but just salacious shit. I can hate on it and be like, man, she ain't putting no work in to do that, but we can't ignore the work that she did to get there and the work that she did for herself or whatever she created for us to want to tune into her.
Mm. Yeah, and then also, like you said, because we had the conversation about rapper and podcaster, right? So we've seen that transition, the work ethic. We've seen that she's able to hold a conversation at the end of the day, to even hold that conversation.
Yeah, even if, like, we think it's stupid.
We think it's stupid, but you're having a conversation for an hour. Bro, it's not easy to talk for an hour.
It's not.
At all. Like, you think you're just showing up and sitting down, like, bro, the energy, you know what I'm saying, to do that on a consistent basis while living the life that she lives and going through some very real things. Like, people don't understand the effort that it takes when everything around you is going through hell to show up and be present. Because we talked about this sometimes, even yesterday, we was like, man, bro, we tired. Like, we're not even trying to record the second episode. But, like, to still show up and have that energy, like, it does take, it is a skill. It's a skill. And 100%. That's something that you can build upon. But I do agree. I agree. Initially, I was like, I'm just going down the perspective of, like, these niggas not talented. These niggas not work. They just are in a place where they're getting fame.
Some now, people talent just be stupid. Fuck it.
Yeah, you ever go to a talent show and just be seeing those, like, weird talents back in elementary
school?
What's your
like
talent?
It.
What's your talent?
I don't want to judge you, but fuck it. Again, like I said, I'm biased. I don't care. I have my own opinion. And I can say it's stupid. Yes, some people talent is dumb, and
to
I don't
me.
Like it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's dumb to me, and it might be what floats your boat, bro, at the end of the day.
Right, man.
Now, let's get to a conversation that you really wanted to talk about.
I don't even know if I could have this conversation again. I don't know. But this was real, bro. De'Aaron Ken. I don't know. I hate the fact that I'm a man and I dwell on being a man and I care about this. I hate it. But
you gotta do it.
What I will say is I care because they did own a piece of, I don't want to say childhood, but a piece of my adulthood going into dealing, navigating relationships.
You give the people some information about what they talking about.
Oh, yeah. So I got to, you the journalist. But, so for the people that don't know, De'Aaron Ken, was this world famous YouTube couple that really started, they was in a relationship, I think he started a relationship at 2019, right?
Was I think it might have been before.
Yeah, I'm bugging.
Let me find that.
It wasn't no 2019.
Because
they broke up
like,
2021. Yeah. So they began a relationship and they started the YouTube. And they were really one of the pioneers when it comes to YouTube couples and people wanting to do these vlogs and shit with their person, right? They honestly was those people. And recently, they broke up in 2021, and recently, again, people are speculating this. I don't know if this is true, but yep. Ken popped out with his shorty, right? And then now we see De'Ara filing a lawsuit for Ken for embezzlement because I guess he's saying that, and we can get the facts.
Yeah, I'll get the facts for you
that,
right here.
He stole some money from a joint bank account, but you can explain it.
So yeah, so basically they're saying that they had a joint LLC through their YouTube channel. In brand partnership deals, and they had a joint account. Mm-hmm. They had sold a house or something, and they decided on keeping $80,000 in their joint account for business purposes. So apparently there was like a Cybertruck and things of that nature that was sold, and you know they agreed to split the proceeds of the $40,000 loan on the vehicle once it was returned. And De'Aaron alleges that nearly all the funds that was in their account disappeared within a year. When confronted, Ken allegedly admitted to using the money for medical bills, but De'Aaron disputes a claim asserting that the withdrawals occurred before any documented medical expenses. So she further points out the fact that she and Ken received $200,000 for the sale of that property that we talked about. Leaving her skeptical of his financial hardships.
Can I go away from the facts for a second, if you don't mind?
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all just got the facts. Alex gave it to you. Damn. But, damn, bro, that was a time. If you watch De'Aaron Ken, bro, that was a time. So even when you said, like, they sold the crib, I remember, we remember when they first got the crib, and it was just a frame. They was building it. It was land. We remember that.
Yeah.
Going in, they was talking about the kitchen and the upstairs. We remember that. So to come on the side of it and, like, they sold it, It's like, damn. Like,
because you remember, you like, you were actually invested in
that. I was invested
story.
In it. I'm like, damn. Right? Because we gotta understand, we seen this couple, this young couple start from sitting on that floor recording.
Oh, really?
To going crazy. Right? And I want to get ignorant a little bit. Damn, man. We don't got shit to be canceled. So, I ain't shit to be scared about. But, Ken, I was on his side, and I'm going to go there. Again, I have duality, so I can give you both sides.
Okay.
So when it comes to that medical bills, I don't know what it was for. But if it was for mental illness, bro, you don't deserve shit. I'm sorry. Because you did that shit to yourself.
Oh, God.
Bro, you had it made.
But $40,000 in medical bills, a mental illness is crazy.
I don't know. Again, this is speculation. Okay, so because it could be something else. Okay. But if it was for mental health and therapist, you pay for that shit yourself, nigga. Mm-hmm. Because you had it. You had the baddest chick in the game wearing your chain figuratively and literally maybe. Bro, you cheated on this girl twice.
Oh, it was twice?
I think so. Allegedly. I don't know. Like, bro, you are stupid. You are retarded. Again, I was on his side. I'm going to tell you why. But, yo, it shows you that niggas ain't never satisfied, bro. Like, bro. And we talked about it before. It's like, yo, because nobody is like just, like, you got some beautiful people in the world, but when you get some money, that shit up it a notch.
You're not ugly. You're broke.
You're broke. And all I'm saying is, Deirdre never been ugly, but when she got to that bag, boy, you seen it change. And that might hurt. I don't know if it was a pride thing or whatever, but you seen it. Because, like, in my mind, Ken started all this. Again, I don't know none of this shit. I'm just speculating. But in my mind, Ken was the one that, like, yo, let's pick up the camera. Yo, let's stay consistent. You know how girls can get, right? They can get in their own way sometimes. We can too, but like they probably don't be as consistent. I see Ken, the one that's like, yo, we gotta do this.
Nah, for sure.
And it got to a point where she was getting the brand deals, where she was getting all the look. And at that point, bro, be support, nigga. It's your time to continue to invest in her. It's your time to continue to support her, not to go out and fuck another bitch, you fucking idiot. Like, yo, so anything that's going on with your mental, you did it yourself, nigga. And that's just me being ignorant. But we're going to make it a clip and they're going to kill me for it, but I don't care.
At the end of the day, you know, we had this aspect of, like, men thinking they're the prize, right?
That's the gayest shit ever. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish. Continue. You're the prize. Like, you're fucking gay. That's what you are. You're the prize. God. You're the prize? Nigga, you got a vagina. You need to check down there. Like, what's going on? Niggas be walking around with their penis tucked. That's what it is. I'm the prize. Picture me saying, like
now you have this aspect
prize?
Of this. You have this aspect of, like, this red pill podcast type.
I'm the prize.
Space.
You fucking gay.
It's crazy because, like, I remember catching myself saying that one day, and I was like, what the fuck is you talking about, bro? Like, what is you talking about right now?
You can be a prize, though.
But that's what I say. You can be affirming yourself. You yes. can be somebody that, but when you use it as like a place from a place of like abuse, or like somebody should be honored to stand next to me, and you come from a place of vain and things of that nature, bro, you are basically saying that, like, you want to be rewarded for what you're supposed
but
to
But not
be.
Even that, because I'm okay. Oh, listen, if you feel like you are a prize and somebody should be like happy to be next to you, cool, right? But in a relationship, I'm never the prize. And honestly, oh, damn. I don't even want to take it there, bro, because we've been ignorant. But what does God say? God say he who finds a wife finds a what?
Good
a
thing.
Good thing.
And favor.
So what are we talking about? You're the prize? No, you gay. You gay. That's what you are. So yeah, in the absence of a woman, yes, you could be the prize. But a lot of times, a lot of men, again, in these, when they're using this word to be in the presence of a woman, it be to negate a woman. No.
Yeah, to demean
them. Yeah, in my relationship, my woman is the prize.
No, but you want to know what that is, bro?
Niggas be gay. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
No, we're not saying
you
that.
You feel me? Niggas be wanting to be bad bitches these days.
No. Niggas do be wanting to be bad bitches these days.
Why.
And they're going to sit here talking about some, you a simp. No, you a bad bitch.
Yeah.
And you need to sit your bad bitch ass aside and go sit the fuck down so the real man can really step up to the front. You bitch ass nigga. That's really what it need to be. You dumb ass nigga. What are you talking about? You supposed to be on man time talking about some, I'm the prize nigga. You might as well strut when you walk your whole ass nigga.
You're a bitch. He's a bad bitch.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, nigga? I had to learn that because I really had to G-check myself. Like, what is you talking about? Because I'm sitting there looking at my dad, awesome. The fuck, nigga, my dad ain't never say no shit like that. Nigga working three jobs talking about something, I'm the prize. Nigga, you know what he does when he get that money?
He show it.
He get a money to the prize,
yeah,
nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? He get a
facts.
To the prize.
When you something, you ain't got to say it. I ain't got to tell you. I walk in it. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I say, even I go back to the God thing, and I don't mean to do that, but it's like, yo, God says, yo, he who finds a good woman finds a good thing and favor.
Yeah.
She gives you favor. My nigga, that's one of the best compliments ever. To have favor of God? What do you mean? Like, so it's like, yo, yeah. And again, I know we joking, but yeah, you can be a prize. I'm not taking nothing away from my men that like, yo, I really do this. I continue to hold it down. Yeah. But in the presence of a woman, she's the prize. And that's why I be like, I be joking, but I be like, yo, niggas, like, I ain't trying to be better than my woman. Like, if I'm with a chick, she need to make me look good, right? Like, I tell girls all the time, I think I'm medium ugly. I hope so. And they're like, you look good. Like, nah. Like,
I'm good ass, ugly.
Like, for sure. Like, I like, a woman looking at me like, oh my God, you're gorgeous. I don't want that, sweetie. I'm sorry. And it's a, no homo, I know some niggas out there y'all think is gorgeous. Shit. I just don't want that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I wasn't born with pretty eyes and hazel eyes and light skin and, you know, long. I'm good. I know, no. No, not to my niggas out there who got, because they might still
much
be built, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I ain't want that. I'm good. I'm so happy I'm brown skin, got scars. Like, I'm good.
I done been through something, nigga.
I'm so happy that I'm like that. You feel
right.
me? So, but anyway, I say that to you. Anyway, I go back to it. Maybe he, damn, and again, speculation. Maybe he got caught up and thinking he was the prize.
Because you start to get a little money, bro. You get funny sometimes, bro.
And it's like, bro, that's the worst thing you could do because, bro, again, I don't know what was, again, I don't know what was going on in that house. And we joking, guys. But again, me being a fan of something, I'm yeah. giving my personal opinion.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, it could have... I know how it... Because things can look great on the outside. It'd be hell in the house, right? I'm just saying, like, you went out bad, bro. In that situation, sometimes we allow sex and, like, our... I don't know, like, this desire for them temporary desires to overpower was real. So if it was that bad, you could have just walked away. Like, bro, like, you fucked up. Like, y'all had a thing. We loved you, bro. Like, we loved y'all. You know what I'm saying? That might sound whatever, but for like, so I was just, so, but I do say I was on his side because as a man, when I seen them break up, it hurt my heart. Because in my heart of hearts, I might be wrong, and I might be loud and wrong, but I know he was the engine to that vehicle, bro. I know it in my heart, right? So when they broke up.
And she started going crazy.
Oh, my God. And Ken is just making fucking, what is it called?
UGC.
UGC. I want to see this shit in the mirror. Bro, damn, turn this shit off. Meanwhile, De'Aaron, turning up. Look good. Glasses. Lorvay, I think that's what it's called. Brand deal, brand deal, brand deal. And you making fucking videos with your dog. If you don't.
Now, he did pop out, like you said. He's in a new relationship now, right?
Back on YouTube.
Back on YouTube. Hey, YouTube, get a bag now. Back to your roots. Back to the basics. Start over. It's never too late. But I'm not going to lie. You did, and we about to wrap it up. But there was one moment that you had me geeking because I remember you posted... And I didn't even know you were a fan until this moment. She had posted a picture with, like, red hair and everything. And you were like, damn, bro. I'm so sorry. Because we know what red hair means, bro. And
red and blonde. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm gonna keep it funky with you. Nigga, I went to go drop Milani off the other day. Shaw, they had some like blonde in there. I'm like.
Hey, I'm let me. Let
I look
me
like, oh.
Podcast over.
You outside. It's over.
It's over. That was it.
I see had a little blonde, but I'm like.
Blonde
it's,
and blonde?
It's done.
Nah.
It's done for you. Yeah,
I wanna be seeing blonde like
that. It was like, it wasn't like bright blonde. It was like a dark, deep blonde. You know, she, bro, I'm like, oh, it's done for.
It's done for.
Sorry, we outside, about to boss. She ain't coming back.
We about to up the score, nigga.
The door is locked, nigga. So you see that red, that blonde, it's a certain hat, it's a certain type of, when you see it, it's over for you. So like, I seen the red, and she looking great. I'm like, damn,
nah,
boy.
I'm gonna add one more to that.
What?
A pixie cut.
What's a pixie cut?
When they cut the short hair, like little finger waves, the knee longs.
Oh, yeah.
It's over with, bro.
Yeah.
They cut their hair. That means they cutting your ass
and
off,
then they,
too.
And then they got that little pose they do on the gram. Like, yep. You know, when you want a relationship, it's a little, you know, you got some respect. When you single, you tune it up a little different. You put a little oomph into it.
Nigga, it's sick.
Damn.
Nigga, it's sick.
I'm just saying. So it's like, man, I felt bad. Like, really. I don't even know these people. But when I see, yo, did you ever turn up? I mean, pressure.
She's still single?
Woo. I don't know.
I gotta get me some money.
I seen a picture on it. You got cute. Yo, Alex doubled down on that too. He mean that shit. That wasn't just for content. You know, sometimes you do things, they go viral and shit. Now he meant it. Nigga said, I gotta get some money. You trying to shoot your shot?
Hey, man. I don't know.
She fine though.
She fire.
That motherfucking money. Well, you know my new thing is cold.
She cold.
That's my new thing. I send a snowflake. Listen, that's what I'm gonna tell you right now.
Quavo, nigga, that's what he sent the sweetie.
Hey,
that's crazy.
Hey, I sent a snowflake.
You an icy girl.
It's over. And listen, when I do decide to get into a new relationship, it's gonna be. Listen, I'm gonna give you advice. When I do decide to get into a new relationship, it's gonna be a few girls who said I try to talk to them.
And
all
that's
you,
okay.
All you, that's okay. All you need to do is say, "Well, you should have listened." That's all you need. Hey, because I'm a good nigga. When I'm your nigga, I'm a good nigga. So I'm just letting you know for my future wife, you're gonna see a few girls say I shot my shot. They're gonna be like, "Jay tried to talk to me." Well, honey, you should have listened. That's it, man.
We'll name this podcast later, y'all.
Ah,
oh, also, before we sign off.
We keep forgetting.
I got to put it on the rundown. That's on me. I got to put it on the rundown. We need you all to subscribe to the J Hill Network YouTube channel. Subscribe. We have a goal to get to 100,000.
Yeah.
100,000.
Oh, I'm going to up the score. Yo, this is what I'm going to do. One, if you want to support the brand, shout out to my guy Alex and Roland and put me on game. If you want to support the brand, make cash at Mr. J Hill. MRJAYHILL. If you want to support the brand, I'll give you a shout out the next show. If you want to support, it could be $1, it could be $100,000. If you want to support the brand, make sure you cash at Mr. J Hill on cash at Mr. MRJAYHILL. If you want to PayPal me, you can PayPal me. It's my full name. Fuck it. I'll put it up there. JeromeHillJr@gmail.com for the PayPal. If you want to support, do that. But this next message is because why? If you also listen through the end of the show and you post, what they got to do, Alex?
They got a comment.
Mm-hmm.
They got a comment promo at the end of within the YouTube, and that lets us know that you listened to the entire episode.
And I'm gonna give one person $50. I can't afford to give everybody.
And honestly, and the message behind this is like, we do everything here in house. So if you really support what we do here, like, it's just me and Jay.
Nigga, we in a garage. It's cold as hell.
It's cold as hell. But we still thugging because we love you. So if you want to support what we got going on, the message, the fun, popping our shit, just support and send that over.
Yeah, and that one person, again, the message behind that is because, like, yo, we building this person by person. We want you to see that. So if it's one person that listens to the full episode, that means a lot, bro, because we talking for an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? So if you listen to the full episode, I'm going to choose one person. You make that comment, promo, or subscribe to Mr. J Hill. I'm going to send you $50, man. Appreciate it. We'll name this podcast later. We really don't have a name, man. Mr. J Hill, Alexander Blanc.
We out.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.